You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on a Wednesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller, and we're with you for the next couple of hours, and appreciate you spending some of that time here with us as we talk sports. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today, here's what's coming up in about 25 minutes. Scott Docterman from The Athletic will join us. Look forward to speaking with Doc. By the way, did you read his piece at the Athletic this morning?
I have not. No, I was changing bloody sheets from a bloody nose from the little man. So didn't get a lot of reading in this morning, unfortunately.
I mean, it's Doc. He's such a terrific writer. I think I'll read it before he comes. Just the first, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just the first two paragraphs. It's so well done. So Scott Dockham at about 10:25. Off we will go to Vegas with Kenny White, kennywhitesports.com. He's on fire. To start the season, he will join us as he will all season long. We'll talk sports wagering with one of the biggest names in the business, Kenny White from kennywhitesports.com. At 11:05, it's Wednesday. That means Cappy's here. So your Bears fans will certainly get your Bears fix with Cappy coming up at 11:05. And then in what will be his normal slot throughout the football season, which hopefully goes way into January and maybe even to February, although it's tough to get back there 3 years in a row, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs has committed to joining us every Wednesday at 11:30 throughout the regular season, with the exception of the bye week for the Chiefs. So look forward to catching up with Mitch Holtis in a game that, you know, I get it. We're not paying attention to the NFL in week number one because of that or that other little game taking place in our state. But Cleveland, Kansas City is a massive game, and I don't think it's crazy to, you know, look way down the road when it comes to tiebreakers and who has the head-to-head. That is tiebreaker number one, after all, and these two teams figure to be teams that are, well, more of the contenders in the AFC. So that's the guest list here today. Look forward to talking a lot of football, sprinkle a little baseball with Cappy as the Cubs had their winning streak snapped last night. I think as much as anything, it would be we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't start with this. You said you weren't going to bet yesterday. Did you follow through?
I did.
You really didn't? You didn't make a play?
I didn't make a play.
That's the first time I could. Maybe like me going a day without a beer.
Right.
You going a day without a bet.
I'm nervous already coming up this weekend.
And for the game?
Yeah, for just, no, betting.
Oh, for betting, because you for can't betting. Top 17-0.
Right.
Right.
And I'm looking at lines this week. We're getting ready for our TV show.
If you missed yesterday's show, he legitimately did, because he showed me his, he's not just saying this.
Yeah.
Trent gave me his phone and brought up his DraftKings account, and there was 17 check marks in a row. Blue, green, 1-1-1-1-1.
It was
not,
one of those
not, weekends. Not O-N-E, W-O-N.
I also went down the route last night. I'm a $5 player.
Right.
That's my unit. It's $5. I'm not a big player, never have been. Well, shouldn't say
you
never have
been. Kids.
Right. This is fun. I always call it my entertainment tax. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a couple hundred bucks before the football season. If need be, a couple hundred bucks before the basketball season, if football didn't go very well, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I have fun with it. This is not a money-making endeavor, and for people to think that it is, get ready for a grind, because what it takes to be
you
a
know what? I'm
going to
ask Kenny White that.
Right.
Because he knows, he'll know them all, certainly majority of them in Vegas are professional bettors.
And I went down the rabbit hole last night. If I would have done a 17 team with the 17 picks I had in college football over the weekend, if I would have done a 17-team parlay for $5, my standard unit, would have paid just shy of $11,000.
Jeez. If it would have, should have.
Uh-huh. And then, because there are a lot of weekends, I won't do 17, but I will do quite a few round-robin parlays where you're betting a bunch of different games together. I've done that before, and I didn't do it last week, and so I'm kicking myself about that. This is never going to be topped. And as I'm looking at lines, we're preparing for our TV show on MediaCon that we'll tape this afternoon that's on sports wagering, and I just don't see anything now. It's almost...
Isn't that weird?
My mind is clouded because of the week. How did I pick all these games right? How did I have it? I went 5-0 in our picks that we do on Fridays. How do you do that? How do you... I have brain lock. I can't get past this now.
And nothing's jumping off the page.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Weird. Now, one game. NC State against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. What am I missing?
That's it. They opened as a dog, by the way. It's 2.5 now, and I jump on that with NC State. But outside of that game, it was a stretch. And I also found a ton of props for the Iowa State DraftKings.
Yeah, Travis Dvorak from Wild Rose sent us a bunch.
So there's some fun ones in here. First team to 10 points. Iowa State minus 135, Iowa plus 105. But this one was
my... Is there a C, none of the above?
Right. Neither team gets to 10.
9-6, we've seen that before.
Yes, we have. This is at Bet Rivers. Total points for Iowa State, 25.5. We know the streak for Iowa. Nobody has scored more than 24 points against them. That
seems
one
pretty
out.
Easy.
And the other one, I found this one at FanDuel. Overtime. 16-1. 16-1 feels like a really good number because these are two even teams.
13-13, 10-10, 17 apiece. I just don't see a lot of points scored in this football game.
At 16-1,
that's worth.
I jumped aboard on that one. So FanDuel got a little bit of my money, still bonus money from all those accounts.
See, I never did that. I guess I could still do it, right?
You can, yeah. There's all kinds of those promos still going on now and the quote-unquote free money.
Right.
You still have to play through with whatever you get. That's still out there, and I got all these accounts, and I'm bouncing around and going different places, and 16-1, because I didn't find it at Bet Rivers, I didn't find it at DraftKings, didn't find it anywhere else. I was the only one that was laying that one. Tie-in regulation is the way that it's dubbed on there. 16-1, yeah, we'll throw $5
Take
bucks
a
on
little
that.
Nibble at 16-1, bet a little to make a lot. That's a pretty good one. The game itself, Trent, I'm glad it's a short week. I mean, there was a point yesterday during the show, you looked at me during a break and said, you know what, I'm glad we had Monday off.
Because I've had that question a lot before. Don't you wish this was a week later so you'd had a full 5 days? No.
No, I don't either.
There was a point earlier in my career. Yeah. Anymore?
No, it's just, and especially this year because we had it taken away from us last year. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these are two really good teams.
Top 10 teams.
We're going to get that matchup. There's just so many layers to this thing. Goodson coming out and saying what he said yesterday about the look at it's great fodder. Once the teams take the field and the balls, all the bulletin board material or whatever. I mean, come on, it's not like they're lining up across the line from each other and going to run extra hard because of what somebody said on Twitter or tackle more violently because Goodson called it the Super Bowl. It's great. It's the thing that bothers me, but Trent, as much as everything about this entire week, it seems we're going to have the rug pulled up from underneath us as fans of this game. And I still don't understand it. There's one fan base that doesn't want this game to go on. And I know I'm painting with a pretty broad brush here, but it's the Iowa fan base that wants this game to go away. And the excuse is, well, we want to play different teams. Come on. What's really behind this? I don't get why anyone in their really wants this game to end. It means so much. There's nothing like this in the state of Iowa that comes close. Why do we want to take it away?
There's nothing like this in central Iowa. And that's the
part. That's where we live.
That is where we live, right. But not every Hawkeye fan lives in central Iowa. And that's where a big piece of this comes from. Living in Iowa City, living in eastern Iowa.
Well, why don't they want the game on the eastern part of the state?
Because it just doesn't matter. Because your cubicle, you don't got a half dozen Cyclone fans there. Because there just aren't as many. And it just doesn't have that same kind of rivalry. You go to the Quad Cities. Well,
where do they find the Illinois? Where do they find the Wisconsin fans if they live in southern Iowa in the cubicles to talk about Wisconsin and I never understood. And this isn't just a one-year deal. This goes back since I've been doing this. Hawkeye fans don't want this game to continue. This is enough. Play every three. Now, look, I do get the new circumstances that have been thrown into the equation with the Big 12. And I would need 7 home games. I understand that, especially if the Alliance does take off. But I don't get the fact that, I'm good with this game going away. No, you're not. You know what? It's going to be one of those things. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Think about last year. We didn't have this game.
Right. Still was a fun season.
Yeah, but could have been better.
Could have been
better. We lost our biggest game.
We did lose our biggest game. And that's the one thing that I like to drive home, though. It's the most important in Central Iowa.
Sure.
Where we are.
And it's not the most important on their schedule.
Sure,
it's not.
No.
And you would rather beat Indiana than beat Iowa State.
I think any Hawkeye fan coming into the year said exactly that.
Absolutely.
If you signed up for 1-1, who do you want the one to be?
Mm-hmm.
It's Indiana.
Sure.
Well, now you got that one in your back pocket.
And whoever loses this game, yes, the bragging rights. I mean, outside the football, the walls of the respective football complexes, yes, it'll be a bigger deal. But at the end of the day, if I was 11-1, if Iowa State's 11-1, it's all going to be there for them.
I was never a proponent of the game going away forever. But when the Big Ten moved to 9 conference games and knew that this is what the schedule is going to be, it's going to be Iowa State every year. And then 2 tomato cans, you know, 2 MAC teams, whatever it is, that's going to be your non-conference slate. I love going to Arizona State and Arizona and Syracuse, those road trips, going to different places. And we're not talking about elite-level programs. Yes, would you trade Iowa State for a Wake Forest home and home? Of course not.
Right.
Washington State?
Right.
No. But if it's Oregon, if it's Clemson, if it's a program, of course you would trade that. So I was more a proponent 2 years on, 2 years off, or even 4 years on, 2 years off, just to add a little bit of variety to the schedule. You get variety with Maryland.
But why does Iowa State fans don't care about variety? They don't want, they want this game every year.
They don't have Nebraska anymore. They don't have Missouri anymore. They don't have a true rival anymore.
But even before that, though, when they still did, it was never, oh, we need variety. We're sick of playing Iowa.
But again,
every
where
year.
Are you?
I get it, Trent. I get the fact, but that's what matters to me,
right,
is where I am.
Sure, but we're looking more big picture. The fan base is not each comprised just in Central Iowa. It's where we live.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we talk, and that's what's most important
but
to us.
But that's where the majority of the population is we get to talk to.
But if we tried to do our radio show the way we do, and all of KXNO in the Quad Cities, wouldn't be the same thing. Because
yeah, but my opinion wouldn't change.
Sure, but I'm just saying big picture, and that's what you have to look at. I saw a question at Hawkeye Report, Tom Cakert's site, and it was about continuing to play Iowa State in a home and home, and especially with the new alliance. Are you in favor of that game? It was like 86% wanted the game to go away.
Yeah.
So it's not just a small...
But if the alliance wouldn't have come in, if Cakert would have asked that question last year... Mm-hmm. It still would have been 86%.
Yeah, maybe 82, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, but right, it would have been a big number.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you ask that Cyclone Fanatic or any of the... No, they don't want this game to end. Iowa State fans want to play this game. Why don't the Hawkeye fans?
Because you have Nebraska and Minnesota and Wisconsin and Illinois, and you have other rivalry games. You have other games that also ratchet it up.
Mm-hmm. Ratchets
Who's their rival?
They don't have one.
Who's their conference? Kansas State. And who would Kansas State say is their rival?
Kansas.
Right. You don't have a rival.
Iowa State doesn't have
at
a rival.
The same level.
I agree with you.
And that's what I think drives this point home more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is their rivalry.
That's a fair
game.
Point. That's a fair point.
And you take that away, what's left?
Yeah.
Get fired up for Oklahoma
Cincinnati?
State. Yeah. And there's going to be West Virginia.
There's going to be West Virginia. So they're still on the outside looking as far as Oklahoma State loses their rival. Maybe there's a vacancy there.
Right.
I don't know.
So what do you think of the new four, speaking of that, for the Big 12? It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening for sure. It'll happen this week. Look, it's the best they can do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Give Bowlesby credit. You know, it's not like they lingered over this decision. They identified the teams that they wanted. They're going to go pick them off. So that's good that that they did it in the timeline, the time frame that they did. Look, it's not, you're never going to replace Oklahoma and Texas, and we get that. Everybody gets that. But this is probably the best case scenario, you know, with one exception. And that's your exception to get a little, to go one step further and do so for football, or for basketball, rather. But it's,
have you heard anything
never.
At all
no
about
one's,
that?
No one's ever said a word about what you put out there, Trent. I'm just stunned by that. And if you missed this, Trent's idea was, yep, go get these four teams for football, but take it another step. Become the dominant basketball conference by bringing in Gonzaga, who has to be bored playing in the West Coast Conference.
Sure.
I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
have to be bored out of their minds with that year in and year out. And we see the lack of competition, what happens to the Zags normally when they, and they do normally make a run, and get Creighton.
Yes.
You know, get Creighton's tired of going across the country to play their games. And it's more than that. The Olympic sports, the non-revenue sports, they're tired of doing that. But no, I haven't heard a peep.
Nothing at all.
Never.
I was surprised by it. Yes, I threw that out on a radio show. Is it going to get to Bob Bowlesby? Probably not. But to think that nobody else has even thought of this idea of building the Big 12, even minus Texas and Oklahoma. Two good programs in basketball, but not great.
Right.
Two good programs.
Yeah, good.
And you substitute what you're doing, Cincinnati, one of the historically best programs in the country.
Without a doubt.
A BYU team that has the 17th most wins in college basketball history.
It's crazy.
Is BYU.
That's a good addition. That's a good addition.
Central Florida, which I think is a sleeping giant. Tons of talent down there. They took Duke to the wire a few years back when they had the right team and the right program. And you're adding to a Big 12, obviously, with Kansas and Oklahoma State and Iowa State and on and on and on. Already a very
And the national champion.
Right, Baylor. Texas Tech has had good teams.
Yes.
You go through this, you're adding Houston to the mix, who just played in a Final Four. The Big 12 over the last 10 years has been either one or two at KenPom. Number one or two conference overall at Ken Pomeroy. It's a great basketball conference. You build it even further by adding those two. And if Creighton says no, we're happy in the Big East.
Find somebody else.
All right. Then call Wichita State.
Right.
Whatever it takes. But build that brand and you get that new blue blood in Gonzaga. It takes this thing to another
level.
And
they don't
care
about football.
Nope.
They don't care. They're not playing football.
Don't need it.
This is basketball only. Let's get Kyle in here. He wants to join the fray and we're glad to have him. 284-5966 is the number. Kyle, how are you? What is on your mind, sir?
Good morning, fellas. Going back to the Iowa fans not, you know, wanting to continue the series, I hear that from my Iowa friends too, and they're the same ones that on a daily basis are putting Hawkeye stuff on my timeline, like, you know, beat state, you know, showing sign a trash can, showing a dumpster fire. Like, this week is the only week they're doing it, and it's directed towards me. And they're on Twitter talking. So it's like I think you're kind of falling for their backhanded attack on Iowa State. We don't want this series. They want it more than anybody.
Well, they want to win it.
They want to win it. But if they say they don't want to win, they don't want to play the series, that is a flat-out lie. It's a defense mechanism. It is a, it doesn't do anything for us, so why should we do it? It is complete defense mechanism. Every Hawkeye fan wants it. Every Cyclone fan wants it. It's just their defense mechanism just in case there's a loss. You know, if they win, you know, great. If they lose, well, you guys wanted it more. I remember when Iowa State had that five-game winning streak back in, I think it was
turn of the century,
98-04.
All I heard about was it's Iowa State Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the biggest game on their schedule. This is
Kirk
this
doesn't care. Ferentz doesn't.
What?
Yeah, Ferentz doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah, and guess what? Iowa has that five-game winning streak right now. And it can be said in the last, you know, couple, two, 3 years, Iowa State was the better team. So, guess, you know, maybe it's your Super Bowl, too. But it's the state of Iowa's Super Bowl.
Precisely.
If you care about the state of Iowa, if you care about the two programs, you want this game. I don't never believe anybody that says they don't want this game. Appreciate it, fellas.
Thank you, Kyle.
Happy Cy-Hawk week.
Yeah, indeed it is. That's a fair point.
I think he nailed it.
Yeah.
It is a defense mechanism. I'm a Hawkeye fan. Everybody knows this. I'm not shy about it. I am a Hawkeye fan. I think I can see things through that, but
you're pretty good at it. I agree.
It is a defense mechanism, and especially the time he's talking about. When Iowa, early in the Ferentz era, the 2002 game,
your only
loss of the regular season, you're up 24-7 at the half, you blow it. And even as that season was going on and Iowa State was going down the toilet in the back half of the year, well, it was their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was that defense mechanism. It just meant more. That's all McCarney cares about. He doesn't care.
Well, now he did. I mean, he did take it to a new level.
And he built this rivalry.
Absolutely did.
When you came here, what was this rivalry like?
It was one side. It was awful. It was boring. Iowa State fans never came out at me. Trent, I say this all the time about Jamie Pollard. To his credit, he got Iowa State fans out in public as Iowa State fans. Sure, there were some, but he made it seem like, you know what, it's okay, Cyclone fans. Put on your gear. Walk around. Be proud. You can show your faces. That's how I take. Maybe it's the fact that I don't have a dog in the fight, and because I care about the state, I love this state.
Sure.
And I don't. And I think this is a blow to this state if this game goes away. That's how I see it. Tim is next. Tim, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good.
Go ahead.
How are you today?
Good.
I'm tired of calling in people. Iowa State is the fact we don't want the game. It's a defense mechanism. We're calling it off. Up to the last 3 years, Iowa State has not been that good. If we won, oh, you're supposed to win. If you lose, well, we beat you. We see you now, you guys. So it didn't help us any. So I'm just getting to the point, well, yeah, we want the game, but no, we could do without it. We could play a bigger opponent, maybe get a better
record. Like who, Tim? Who are we going to play?
Who are we going to play? Good. Iowa State's good now.
Who are you going to play?
Iowa State's good. Who am I going to play?
Yeah, who do you want to play?
Arizona.
I'll play Arizona.
I'm going out to Arizona. That was a great time. You know, Arizona
it was
State.
A fun time.
Didn't work out well.
You know, let's go play Clemson, like you said. Let's play some big boys. But, you know.
Do you think that that's who they're going to schedule?
I like the conference going now because Iowa State's good. As long as Iowa State's great and has 9-10 wins a year,
yep.
It's a great play for Iowa. But when they're playing 3-4 wins, it wasn't a good play for Iowa to play in because they didn't do anything to go to the schedule.
But here's the end of the deal, Tim.
Well, we were supposed to lose.
At the end of the day, if you're 11-1, it's not going to matter if Iowa State beat you. Is it? You're still going to. If you win the Big Ten, you're getting in.
Well, we won 11-1, and we got.
Well, that was a different set of circumstances. That was pre-playoff.
Yeah.
That was pre-playoff.
Because our schedule was weak that year.
Well, the Big Ten did.
And we lost to Iowa State, and, you know, so it does matter.
All right. Tim, I appreciate your call.
So it comes down to the last little bit, and yeah, Iowa screws up and you need that win, and we didn't get it, and we lost Iowa State. There it is. So
thanks for the call,
yeah,
Tim.
I do want to keep going.
Yatta boy. Appreciate that.
Everybody's relevant.
Yep, indeed. Thank you. Jeff next. Jeff, welcome. Real quick, Jeff.
I don't know if that guy had some cocktails early, but that was an interesting phone call. But I agree with you guys about the Iowa State not having – you know, another team in the conference or, you know, that competitor. But I want to question Trent here. So, Trent, you were saying with... He's answering the phones.
Yeah,
well, then I'm talking.
Okay.
Okay, so Iowa, you know, their rival with Minnesota, that rivalry, what does that mean? Or they beat Nebraska 5-6 years. What does that mean? That's not a rivalry. Like, if Iowa really wants to challenge themselves... If they're way better than Iowa State, why don't they play Wisconsin every year? Or why don't they play Penn State every year? Or why don't they challenge and play Michigan every year? Like, those are rivalries to me.
Yeah, but that's,
they're not Iowa State.
But
what is Minnesota? Again, I want to really hit this home. What does it do for Iowa if they beat Minnesota every year?
Well,
what
it propels them to a Big Ten West crown some years.
Well, which they haven't been in 5 years.
True.
Right? Or
2015, yep.
Okay, so, but I mean, in a typical year, this is my opinion, I think Iowa should beat Minnesota, Northwestern, Indiana, pretty much every year. So I don't know what the difference is if you're not playing Iowa State or you're playing Minnesota or Nebraska. Like, I just don't get Iowa fans for talking how it's, you know, well, we shouldn't play Iowa State. Well, take care of Iowa State most years, which you do,
mm-hmm.
and then take care of the Northwesterns, which you can't do, or take care of the Minnesotas, the Nebraskas, which you should do, and then you get to play Ohio State, every 3-4 years. But it seems like to me, and we all like to talk about facts, it's hard for Iowa to get that job done.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Got to run. Appreciate that. Appreciate the banter back and forth. I just don't want the game to end.
Yeah.
Selfishly, is it good for business? Absolutely. But it's good for the state of Iowa. The bars are going to be packed. Everybody's talking about it. One neighbor's got a Hawkeye flag out front. The other one's got a Cyclone flag. And the next day, for the most part, we all get back together and become Iowans again.
Right.
And I love that aspect about it.
It can get ugly this week.
It will, and it does. Yeah, but
as long as it's just for a week.
As long as it's just for a week.
That's not always the case on Cyhawk Twitter.
That's true. It makes it fun. It's so good for business. 25 after 10. Miller and Condon. Scott Docterman next. 1460 KXNO. 106.
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Steel Jan's third down miracle, Andy Brodell's 85-yard punt return, the 15-year streak, Shaggy's five field goals, improbable runs by Seneca Wallace and C.J. Beathard, the punt fumble, Brad Banks' injured hand, 44-41 twice. Did the legislature get involved? What happened to Iowa's band? Is there a Korn family trophy? Beat Iowa jersey, $90 ticket, Cyclone billboard on I-380, Hawkeyes forgetting to bring the old trophy, LaFesta Rhodes, 54 Niang's kiss, Utah's first half, Jordan Bohannon's shoes.
It's a pretty good rivalry.
Pretty good rivalry. Pretty good writer penned those words and typed them for The Athletic, and he joins us. Hello, Scott Dockerman. Man, you paint a picture with that keyboard. Well done. How are you? Oh, I got to press the button. Sorry,
caller.
I'll
tell you what, I think that...
Go ahead, Doc.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I tell you what, it's this rivalry paints a great picture, and it's just kind of easy. It's almost paint by numbers in some ways. I mean, there's just been so many great moments and interesting moments, and that only happens organically. You can't just create a trophy like the Freedom Trophy between Wisconsin and Nebraska and christen it a rivalry. It's got to be bathed in all these types of situations, and Lord knows we've had them over the last almost 50 years.
Doc, so many great memories that just popped up as Ken was going through them all, and conversation points that we've had on the air with every single one of them. Doc, we had a conversation about this game going away, the future of the game after 2025. What does that mean? The Alliance, on and on and on. And continue to hear from Hawkeye fans that want to see this game go away, and that's a big component of it. Go back, though. Refresh our memory. A couple people brought up that Iowa tried to schedule Notre Dame, tried to get out of the Iowa State game for a year, maybe 2 years. You have the details. Iowa, what, 3-4 years ago tried to schedule Notre Dame in Soldier Field. It didn't come to fruition. Can you take us through how that went, and maybe that led to some of the frustrations on the Iowa perspective of this game?
Yeah, and there were some... I actually asked somebody last year, just can we break this down for me, not on record. And so I guess I'm revealing what all happened there now. And that was, look, we were not trying to get rid of the Iowa State game. What we were trying to do was schedule one off with Notre Dame, and it just wasn't going to work out. And so it would have been a 1 year where they would have had a Power 5, 11 Power 5 games, one with Notre Dame, like in Chicago. And it just, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. The person who was involved in the discussions, just he wouldn't go as far as to say why, but you know, it was, and plus he was like, well, you know, it's been a few years, it didn't really work out, but it was, that was really more the genesis of it rather than kill the Iowa State game for 1 year. I mean, they kind of got spread, and to some extent, but it was primarily that 1 year they would go and play Notre Dame as a one-off.
Was it 2017? Because if that's the case, Iowa could have, they played, their non-con was Wyoming and North Texas. So, I mean, if it was so important to play Notre Dame, I get that. And it would have been great for the state. But, you know, the excuse that I'm hearing from some Hawk fans is, well, it costs us the opportunity to play Notre Dame. Well, you chose not to play Notre Dame because you could have canned the Wyoming game or North Texas and split the gate. Anyways, Doc, I just think it's too important for the state overall. So Trent just brought up something interesting in the first segment. You live in the eastern part of the state. From where we sit in central Iowa, there's nothing bigger than this game, and it's not even close. That's not the case in the eastern part of the state. Is that that's what Trent wanted? I mean, is that true?
Yeah, that's true, and it's not a slight at all to Iowa State. Maybe in the past I've written things to make it look like it was not important. It is important. It is a big week. It's a big deal no matter where they play, if it's in eastern Iowa or central Iowa. But what happens is it's one of many games, and I think when you look at, is the Cy-Hawk bigger than winning the Big Ten? It's not. And I think the Wisconsin game and Minnesota and Nebraska games are all big, too. So but the difference is there aren't as many Cyclone fans in Iowa City or in Cedar Rapids or in the Quad Cities as there are in Des Moines. So every office in Des Moines has fans of both teams. Every church, every school, every gathering you go to, you got fans of both teams. So inevitably that conversation comes up. I mean,
I've had, you know, I lived in central Iowa for a short period of time. My dad did for 30 years. My in-laws still do. In fact, my brother-in-law sends Matt Campbell's gum every week. So it's kind of funny, you know. But here, just the vibe is a little different. It's a big deal this week. Mm-hmm. And really kind of going into this season because everybody knew how good both teams were going to be. But it's not the type of game that lives on beyond Saturday as much as maybe it does for Iowa fans in central Iowa.
Just different.
And yeah, the fact that there's not as many Cyclone fans over there, yeah, that's a good point.
So, Doc, let's get to the game. And after what we saw from week one out of Iowa, defensively, they look ready to go. Offense, let's start right there. Spencer Petras, we're going into his first now road start. Mm-hmm. With crowd, and it's not just going to be any crowd. It is going to be as revved up as you're going to find in college football. What you saw from Petras in his first performance of 2021, and how do you think he's going to respond to the crowd on Saturday?
Yeah, it was adequate. That's about as good as I could really describe it. That it was just okay. It wasn't anything special, and I didn't think he needed him to be special. And in a lot of cases, it's more of a matter of, hey, these guys, they're up 14-0 before he really blinked, and then, he really started rumbling. So don't risk it. Don't give them an opportunity to get back in that game. So he's pretty conservative. The game plan was conservative, and he threw away the ball rather than try to fit it into a narrow window. So I don't know if it was necessarily – and there were some drops. So I don't know that we saw him at his best. I don't think it really mattered that much. It did kind of follow along the same lines that – when he released the ball quickly, he was really good. He was 8 of 12. When he put his after 2.5 seconds, like last year was bad, this year was bad too. It was almost 27% as his completion percentage was. He has to get better there. How that lends itself to this weekend, I think in some ways, I don't think it's going to be as bad as what some people think about, kind of first road start in front of a road crowd. He has played on the road, so he understands all those. Yes, the volume will be turned up to 11, as Spinal Tap once said. But I think that's not going to be as big of a deal. It's going to be about execution on third down. It's going to be at third and medium. It's going to be about fourth quarter. His predecessors did a great job of that. Nate Stanley came up with a 5-touchdown performance. One time he threw off the goal line and hit Amir Smith-Barset on a 27-yard pass 2 years ago. I mean, C.J. Beathard had, play after play after play in 2015. So they all did those things to win those games. He's going to have to win this game at some point. I don't know that he could do it. I don't know that he can't do it. Mm-hmm. But we won't know that until Saturday, probably around, 6:15 our time.
Doc, we're short on time, so I want to get this in. If you were buying a stock in a player from what you didn't see much of him in 2020, and what you saw, maybe not the entire game, but for the glimpses that you saw of whom, do you think's got a real chance to make an impact in his Hawkeye career? Any of the young guys jump out to you, Doc?
Oh, my. I guess I would say Lucas Van Ness. He got a sack, and he played well when he was out there, and he's done a good job both in the spring and in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I think he's one of the guys. There's quite a few, but I think they're going to come to the forefront more this weekend than what we saw on last Saturday.
Doc, prediction time. What do you got Saturday? How's this thing going to play out in the mind of Scott Docterman?
Wow, you're really putting me on the spot.
That's
here.
Right.
I think I'm going to go with Iowa State by 3, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if this goes to overtime. I think this has got the potential to do that, like we've seen so many great games in the past. So hold on to your hats. I think it goes to overtime, and it just could be a simple matter of Iowa kicks the field goal, Iowa State scores the touchdown, and that's how the game ends up.
You can get that at 16-1 right now. This game goes to overtime at FanDuel, so get a couple of shekels there, and if your prediction comes true, you're going to be a richer man.
Indeed. Doc, we're richer men from reading your piece today at The Athletic. Well-written, Scott Docterman. As I said, you can paint a picture with that keyboard, and you did again here today. That 50% off sale at The Athletic, is it still going on, Scott?
Yeah, through Monday. So we've got lots of stuff on the Cy-Hawk. Max Olson will be joining me. We've got a podcast, me and him, today. He'll be joining me in Ames, so we'll have both sides covered. So now's the perfect time to sign up, and and read up, especially with, you know, whenever your favorite team does this weekend.
And literally your favorite team, regardless of sports, you can find it at The Athletic. Doc, thanks you. Thank you. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, good to talk to you. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Kenny White, off to Vegas we will go. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.
Credit approval analysis.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. We take you until noon. David Kaplan and Mitch Holtis in hour number two. Off to Vegas, we shall go. Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com. Off to a terrific start with his college magazine. The NFL joins the fray starting tomorrow night. Kenny White is with us. Kenny, as always, Trent and Ken, appreciate you coming on. So if you're going to be serious in doing this, for those folks out there, you never stop, right? Once the season starts, I guess adjustments have been something that you have, with your power rankings, have devoted a whole bunch of time since we saw the games unfold this weekend. How critical is that, Kenny?
Oh, it's so critical. You have to make adjustments after every single game for almost every single team, because they are going to do things that you don't think they were going to do. And I, you know, it's box score after box score I'm going through to make those adjustments, finding games that the score wasn't really indicative of how that game was played. And I'll give you a couple examples. Temple lost 62-14. But in that game, they only got outgained by a half a yard per play. Rutgers only averaged 4.6 yards a play and scored 62 points. So to everyone looking at that thinks, Rutgers' offense must be great. Well, their drives were 2 yards, 26 yards, 22 yards, and 17 yards. Four drives of 26 yards or less, and then add to that a 46-yard interception return. So when a lot of people are upgrading Rutgers' offense and downgrading Temple's defense, I really didn't make any adjustments at all on either of those. So very interesting. Florida Atlantic outgained the Florida Gators by over 100 yards and by 1 yard per play, even 6.1 yards to 5.1 yards. So those are the things you got to find to make adjustments. I know I had about 5 or 6 teams coming in the year, maybe I had about 10 teams that I thought I might have underrated. And sure enough, boy, 6 of them, I think, came back to haunt me and played really good football last week. So I made the adjustments and don't want to bet against them again, but that's the way you got to do it each and every week.
Kenny, I've heard handicappers on both sides of the argument. Either week 2 is their favorite week to bet or their least favorite week to bet. The overreaction that's there, it feels like maybe the lines get a little looser because of overreaction from week 1. What side of the debate are you on? Do you love week 2, or does week 2 make you a little more nervous?
I'm not sure. I don't really look at it that way. Week 1 is probably my favorite because it goes up so early. But again, trying to get down early and bet these games as soon as possible is your biggest advantage, because a half point is so valuable. And if you get down early, you may get a point and a half or 2-3 points on a game advantage. And that's just so, you know, that's, you can't beat that type of line movement.
Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com, NFL season upon us. If someone were to ask you, what's easier to win at? And the answer's probably neither. But is college football or the NFL easier for you to make money at?
Oh, it's no question. I've had some good years in the NFL, but never anywhere near where I can win in college football. There's so many more opportunities in college football, and the information is readily available for the NFL. The line is stronger, and it just goes again. I try to say, use common sense. Think about the bookmakers and what they offer. They'll let you bet $50,000 on a NFL game, and they'll only let you bet $10,000 on a college game. Same thing goes for totals. They let you bet less on totals. Why? There's a reason. They have a hard time beating totals. So, yeah, I'd rather focus in on college football and college football totals. I love handicapping the NFL. It is a challenge, though. And I said, had some good years. I had a good year last year, and hoping to have a good year this year as well. But it's still a very tough game to beat. You got to be very disciplined betting the NFL.
Kenny, let's get into some of the games this week. Let's start with a big one. Oregon on the road after a ho-hum performance against Fresno. They go to the Buckeyes and that incredible group of wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't think that Oregon knew what they were getting into with Fresno and how good Fresno State is, and very, very well coached. Mario Cristobal is extremely happy just to get out with the, without the W, heading to Columbus. 0-9 lifetime. The Buckeyes have won every single meeting in this series. Ohio State, I was against them. I had a lower rating on them. It was one of the teams I had to raise up very quickly because it just showed against Minnesota their speed, their strength. They may be inexperienced, but they are awfully talented. But even raising that rating up, I still got to give some revenge for Oregon, knowing they're, you know, 0-9. Ohio State has to be feeling pretty good about themselves coming back against Minnesota, and that young club inexperienced playing at home, maybe a little pressure. It's not a great play, but I do lean towards Oregon plus the 14.5. They have enough athletes to hang in here and hang around, and I think right now Anthony Brown looked extremely solid against Fresno. So that's going to be a guy that I think can put a couple points up on the Ohio State defense.
Washington stunk against Montana. Michigan had a good opener. How do you see that?
Yeah, they sure did. Michigan looked very good against Western Michigan. Very, very impressed with Cade McNamara. 9 for 11, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns. He dominated. And on the other side, Minnesota, Dylan Morris struggled a little bit against a Montana defense. He threw 3 interceptions, 46 passes. I didn't think he was going to be their starting quarterback for the year, but he was missing all 3 of his starting wide receivers. That's awfully tough to do when you're short on wide receivers. So this game right here, I'm leaning to Washington because I know they were looking completely past Montana, thinking about Michigan. Harbaugh's program, I still don't think where it was once, because he doesn't get the same talent from the state of Ohio that they used to get. So I'm taking the points with Washington, and I'm playing this game under because both teams have very, very solid defenses. I'm hoping that Washington gets 2 of those receivers back for this weekend, but it's not a huge loss. 2 of those guys are redshirt freshmen. So the guys that did play are talented. They just didn't have experience. I'm just hoping, again, that was last week was an aberration. Washington was looking way ahead to this game right here and now have to make up for that loss with a great performance against the Wolverines. They need to pull a upset on the road.
Battle of the Beehive State, BYU hosting Utah. I'm invested in Utah a lot in the futures market, both to win the South and the Pac-12. But a big number here, 7 points in Provo as the home Cougars are getting a touchdown. Where do you see?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised this line was so high. And, Utah's a very good team. I think they win your side. They're a well-coached team. Charlie Brewer transfers in from Baylor. Solid effort in his first game. The Utes have really dominated this series, 59-31 with 4 ties. And they've won the last 9 in a row. So I got to give some revenge for BYU. They have to be ready for this game. They're a solid outfit. I think they're a very good football team. And under Kalani Sitake, they've been an under team, 40-24 to the under, big under. In this series, the last 20 games, it's 10-8 with a tie to the under. Last 19 games, 10-8 to the under. So I'm on BYU plus the 7, leaning to the under a little bit in this game. Jaren Hall, who sat out last year because he knew that Zach Wilson was going to be the starter. He wasn't getting any time. I watched him 2 years ago when he came in a couple games. He is a really good quarterback. He went 18 for 28 for 198 yards and 2 touchdowns versus Arizona. They were cruising. They were destroying Arizona, up 24-3. Punt to the 1-yard line. BYU gets the ball at the 1. Safety makes it 24-5. And then a great return off the kickoff for Arizona put them in scoring position, a screen pass, touchdown. And Arizona was back in that game. And I believe BYU had gone into halftime thinking, can't wait to play Utah next week. That's our rival. They beat us 9 in a row. We're going to get them this year. This is our year. We're going to get them. We didn't get a chance to play them last year when we had our best team. So I think they just took Arizona too lightly when they had that 24-3 lead. They're a far better football team than that. They'll be in this game. It's going to be a great battle, the Holy War. low-scoring game plus the points and under.
Kenny, we've got 90 seconds left. So KennyWhiteSports.com, you're off to a terrific start for people that go to KennyWhiteSports.com. Highly recommend it. It's been winning weeks so far. Last thing, in 60 seconds, Cy-Hawk, Iowa or Iowa State, who did you adjust the most after you saw week one, and how do you see the game?
I raised Iowa. That had to push them up. There's no doubt about it. Again, Kirk Ferentz, such a great coach. But you know what? Trent and I are not big on Spencer Petras, and he did not impress. 13 for 27 for only 145 yards, no touchdowns, very underwhelming. Tyler Goodson had the big run. There was some turnovers. And I think Iowa was a little bit fortunate in that game. I think this game is going to be a dead under game. This is such a battle between these two teams, two great coaches. Amazing. This will be the first time ever both teams are ranked that they're playing each other. First time ever. And Iowa's won five in a row. Iowa State looking for that revenge. Two great running backs. I think you're going to see Goodson and Hall getting it quite a bit. But again, under for me, I think it's going to be a very low-scoring football game.
Good stuff. Well, hopefully September the 17th. I'll remind you next week. It's a Friday. You can stop by Circa as we'll be doing our show there in the afternoon. Chris Williams from our afternoon show and I will be live at the Circa as we're in town for UNLV and Iowa State. We'll talk to you next week. KennyWhiteSports.com. Kenny, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Hour number two coming up next. David Kaplan to begin. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Miller and Condon, 1460 and 106.3.